Jiayi, could you read that Romans chapter 1? The entire chapter?
Romans chapter 1.
Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God, the gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures regarding his Son, who as to his human nature was the descendant of David, and who through the spirit of holiness was declared with power to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. Through him and for his name's sake, we received grace and apostleship to call people from among all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith. And you also are among those who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. To all in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints, grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is being reported all over the world. God, whom I serve with my whole heart in preaching the gospel of his Son, is my witness how constantly I remember you in my prayers at all times. And I pray that now, at last, by God's will, the way may be open for me to come to see you. I long to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. That is, that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that I planned many times to come to you, but have been prevented from doing so until now, in order that I might have a harvest among you, just as I have had among the other Gentiles. I am obligated to both the Greeks and non-Greeks, both to the wise and the foolish. That is why I am so eager to preach the gospel and also to you who are at Rome. I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. For in the gospel a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, "The righteous will live by faith." The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness, since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him. But their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal man and birds and animals and reptiles. Therefore God gave them over in the sinful desires of their hearts to the sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen. Because of this, God gave them over to shameful lusts. Even their women exchanged natural relations for unnatural ones. In the same way, the men also abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. Men committed indecent acts with other men and received in themselves the due penalty for their perversion. Furthermore, since they did not think it was worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, he gave them over to a depraved mind to do what ought not to be done. They have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They are senseless, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do these very things, but also approve of those who practice them.
Our Heavenly Father, we come before you this evening We ask that you be gracious to each and every one of us. Open our eyes that we can see the wonderful things that is written in your gospel. And open our ear that we can hear and understand what we have heard. And more importantly, I pray that through your word, you give us faith to put our faith in your precious word so that we come to know you. And I pray that you help your servant to explain your word to your children, explain it clearly so that they understood what you have told them, and give them an obedient heart so that we want to follow you all the days of our life, so that from the fullness of our God, we have received one blessing after another. And I pray that you be with us today. And I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Could you do me a favor and introduce some of your friends to me, starting from here? Is there, whose friend is that? Jean, is your friend? Your boyfriend? A friend just happened to be a boy, right? Where? So you've been here before? You are not the first timer? Okay.
There, over there.
Are you a Christian? You are a Christian.
No.
You are a Christian, but you are not baptized, you say. Is that what you say? You haven't believed in God yet? No? Okay. Do you mind to introduce yourself?
My name is Maria.
Maria, yeah?
Yeah, this is my first time.
And I saw that you have a Bible. You're a Christian. Which church did you attend to?
I went to a Chinese church
in the West Side. Three years ago, okay. 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 Called West Meadow Church. Is the Baptist Church? Okay. So you used to go to Alliance Church in the West Side, right? Yeah, Alliance Church. Yeah. You don't like the Alliance Church? Okay, sure. Thank you for coming, Maria. And this handsome young man.
My name is Bruce.
Bruce.
Yeah.
And you are Wesley friend.
Yeah, I'm Wesley's friend. We go to the same school.
Go to the same school, same church?
No, I go to Beulah Church. That's in Canadian Tire. Like, yeah, go to pizza.
Yeah, Beulah Alliance Church.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, we are so indebted to Beulah Alliance Church. The West Side Alliance Church used to be started from the Beulah Alliance Church in the 124th Street. Long time ago, before you were born, 30 some odd years ago, he started over there. And then they sold the property, they moved to by the Canadian Tire.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the Bill Lyon Church is good. Okay? Thank you all coming. Now let's turn to Romans chapter 1. I want to start with verse 5. Through him, and for his name's sake, we receive grace and apostleship. I want to stop here. There's two things that Paul talk about. If it is not through Jesus Christ, none of us can receive grace from God. I want you to write beside grace. You write down Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 16. Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 16. Did any one of you has a Bible called NASB? is all of you have NIV, right? Grant? Grant? Where's Grant? Oh, NASB. That's good. Okay. Now let me turn to Gospel of John. Chapter 1, verse 16. For of his fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace. I want to stop here. Joshua, could you read that in your NIV? Gospel of John 1:16.
John 1:16. From the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another.
Okay, listen to how the NASB translation is. For of his fullness, we have all received, and grace upon grace. But NIV say that from the fullness of his grace. The fullness he talk about is not just the fullness of his grace. Why? Before we interpret verse 16, we go back to the verse 14. For the word became flesh and dwelt among us. We saw his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. Through of grace and truth. In other words, for of his fullness of what? Fullness of grace and truth. Not just from the fullness of his grace. You understand what I'm trying to say? And then, verse 17. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. In other words, if it is not Jesus Christ coming down from heaven to where we are, no way we understand God's grace, nor we will be able to understand God's truth. So that's why the Bible, he didn't say, for of his fullness. Fullness of what? Is the fullness based upon verse 14? Is fullness of his grace and truth. I think the Chinese translation is very much close to NIV, but in this Bible verse 1:16, I prefer the NASB. It's a lot better. Through Jesus Christ, we receive grace. Through Jesus Christ, we receive truth. Okay? You won't know God's grace unless it's through his word, through his truth. If you don't study the Bible, no way you understand God's grace. You understand what I'm trying to say? No way we understand God's truth unless through Jesus Christ. So we go back to Romans chapter 1 verse 5. Through him, through Jesus Christ, and for his name's sake, we receive grace and apostleship. Grace is the, what kind of grace you talk about? Talk about that grace is salvation. Number one. Having eternal life is God's grace. You write down, right beside, you write down grace equal to salvation. Salvation is by grace. Okay? According to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. And then Paul talk about through him we receive grace and apostleship. you write down service. Service is apostleship. Being able to serve God is God's grace. You have the opportunity to receive eternal life. He didn't stop here. Why? I want you to write it down. God's grace, number one, and number two. Number one is salvation. Number two is service. It's ministry, serving God. You write down Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. And you put a bracket, apostleship. For Paul, he's being called to be an apostle. Chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God. It is God's grace that we are saved through faith. That's why I say salvation equal to God's grace. I also say being able to serve God right after you believe in Jesus Christ, it is also God's grace. You know what? If you just go to the church every Sunday and worship God without serving God, you haven't understand what is God's truth. We don't just receive salvation from God. We also receive ministry. We also receive service so that we can serve God. It is God's grace too. That's why Gospel of John chapter 1 verse 16 saying, from the fullness of his grace and truth, we have received one blessing after another. What's the first blessing I received from God? I have eternal life. I'm being saved. What's the second blessing I received from God? I'm being able to serve God. Now I want to stop here. Do you want to receive one blessing after another, Hannah? So how can you receive one blessing after another? Have you received the salvation yet? Have you received the ministry of serving God? So how do you serve God? Set up the microphone and all that? Wow! See? Good stuff. So you have received grace upon grace then. Right? Let's see. Is that my interpretation? Or Paul's interpretation. Let's turn to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 2. Surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you. That is the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I have already written briefly. In reading this, then you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to man in other generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit of God's holy apostle and prophet. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heir together with Israel, member together of one body, and sharer together in the promise in Christ Jesus. Go back to in verse 2. Surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given me for you. That is the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I have already written briefly. Paul being able to write the Bible and preach the gospel, that is God's grace to him. And that's why I want you to write it down. right beside apostleship in chapter 1 verse 5 of Romans. Through him and for his name's sake, we receive grace and apostleship. We receive grace and apostleship. Right beside apostleship, you write down Ephesians chapter 3 verse 2. Paul being able to serve God because God given him grace. Now go back to Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8 and 9. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this not from yourself. This means salvation. Not from yourself. Salvation is the gifts of God. Because it's a free gift from God. That's why it's called grace. You don't work for it. It's freely given to you because you have faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 9. Salvation is not by work. You don't attain salvation by work. If you attain salvation by work, then you can boast about it. No one can boast about that because salvation is not by work. Salvation is the gifts of God, freely given to those who are willing to believe in him. So that's why Paul saying, through Jesus Christ, in Romans chapter 1 verse 5, through Jesus Christ our Lord, and for his name's sake, we have received grace. That grace is the grace of salvation. On top of this grace of salvation, we also receive grace of service. We be able to serve him. You know, now Hannah, every Sunday, she went earlier and set it up. I show you how to pray to God. Okay? You say, our Heavenly Father, I'm faithful in serving you every Sunday. Most of the people go to the church at 9:30. I went there at 8 o'clock to help set up the chair. Remember my labor in you. And when I graduate, I need work. And I pray that you're going to answer my prayer. Do not make your maid feel ashamed of serving you, because you know that as the earthly Father has compassion to those who serve him, how much more our Heavenly Father. When I serve him, nobody see that. You saw that, because early in the morning, not very many people setting up the chair. Only you, Keith, and all the other people, right? They all see that, right? So using that to pray to God. Okay? And then, what's the Bible verses? I prove it to you. The Bible verse is Psalm 86, verse 17. Psalm 99, 6 and 7. Psalm 19, verse 16 to 17. Why don't you read that? See whether you get all of that. Psalm 86, 17 first.
Give me a sign of your goodness that my enemies may see it and be put to shame. For you, O Lord, have helped me and comforted me.
Psalm 99, 6 and 7. You ask God for a sign of goodness, right? Okay?
Moses and Aaron were among his priests. Samuel was among those who called on his name. They called on the Lord and he answered them. He spoke to them through the pillar of cloud. They kept the statutes and the decrees he gave them.
What is the reason why when three of them, Moses, Aaron, and Samuel, when they prayed to God, and how come their prayer are so powerful? What is the main reason? Because they are obedient to God's voice.
They
In verse 7, when God spoke to them from the pillar of cloud, they listen, they obey, they do it. And in the same way, you say that because I heard my father key tell me to serve God in the morning. I obey my father's command, right? And that pleases you. And I pray that you show me a sign of goodness to me. Do not make me feel ashamed. I want to get at the moment when I finish schooling, I want a job and good pay. You understand? Ask him for the sign of goodness. Because I listen to you. I obey you. And now, when I cry out to you in prayer, I pray that you hear my prayer just like you hear the prayer of Moses, Aaron, and Samuel. For you are impartial God. You doesn't so pray for this son. How you bless Moses in those days? Because they, Moses, Aaron, and Samuel, for they are obedient to your voice. And I'm obedient to you too. I set apart the time. Instead of sleeping, I come here earlier to set up the chair and all that, right? You know how to pray now? I want you to write that in the first page of your Bible. So that you, no way you forget, right? Next time, you know, when you need that, you just cry that out, okay? And then the last one. Psalm 90, verse 16 to 17.
May your deeds be shown to your servants, your splendor to their children. May the favor of the Lord our God rest upon us. Establish the work of our hands to us. Yes, establish the work of our hands.
Say that again. One more time. 16.
May your deeds be shown to your servants, your splendor to their children. May the favor of the Lord our God rest upon us. Establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands.
So are you doing God's ministry? You doing God's ministry? How did Moses pray to God in Psalm 90, verse 16? May your action, may your work reveal to me, right? And your glory to my children. Do you know how to, when in the future, if you go and get married, if you have children, you know how to pray. Psalm 90, verse 16. Ask God to reveal his goodness, glory, and all that to you and also to your children. Do you understand? That is God true. You know how to pray now? I want you to write that in the first page of your Bible. This is good promise for you, so that you know how to pray for yourself, you know how to pray for your children. Okay? You know what? If you just come to the church to hear the sermon and you don't bother serving God, all this prayer of no use to you because you don't serve God. Isn't it? All this prayer is based upon their obedience, based upon their ministry, how Moses served God. If I serve you, prove yourself faithful to me. I want a job. I want a good job. So that all the other people see that and they be put to shame, especially my enemy. And when the godly people see that, they praise you. Wow, God is faithful. Isn't it what he promised in the Bible? Now, I see that. I see the blessing. Isn't it? Do you like these promises? Now you know how to pray now. So, Emily, did you serve God? How do you serve God?
Mostly yellow bird.
Okay. Is it a burden to you, or is it God's grace, being able to serve him?
God's grace.
That's God's grace? Did you write that three Bible verses down too? Wow, that's good. That's how I get blessing too. I hold on to these promises. Because you are faithful. You are just. And I pray that. Show your goodness to me and to my children. You understand? And God can answer your prayer. When God answers your prayer,
your life be changed. Then you say, wow, this God's truth is good stuff. I like it because I taste it and I know the goodness of the Lord. Write one more one. Psalm 34, verse 8. Read that. Taste and see that the Lord is good. How do you taste? God say, you got to serve me. Serving God is God's grace. You got to taste it. You got to try it. When you try, you know it. Then you know God is good. It isn't just, I heard about that God is good. I know that with my own life. Is this good? Then you won't stop going to the church when you experience that. Right? If you come to Lion Church earlier, at that time, I was there at that time. I was a senior pastor over there. But not 3 years ago. What? From 2002 to 2006. So you go there at what? 2009? Something like that, right? Yeah. You missed the boat. You missed the boat. Oh, man. Come on, if I go to the church and I receive God's grace, according to Gospel of John chapter 1 verse 16, from the fullness of His grace and truth, we have all received one blessing after another. I'm not going to just receive one blessing and then run away from Him. I'm going to keep on leaning on Him and taste it and see that the Lord is good. I will continue to go there. I encourage you to come to our church now from this day on, so that you can keep on receiving the blessing. So, go back. I want you to go and read Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. Right beside that salvation. Salvation is God's grace through faith, through man's faith. And then, being able to serve God is also God's grace. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. The Bible says, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good work. To do good work. You write beside to do good work, you write down service. That is God's grace. We all have to serve God. Why? Because God changed our life. We're supposed to go to hell. He saved our life to bring us to heaven. We don't want to go to see Jesus in heaven empty-handed. I'm going to serve God right now to bear fruit, to bring more people to come to know Christ. I see that you carry an iron ring. Are you an engineer?
Yeah.
You're an engineer too? Oh, wow.
Just use the same word, same as you.
Structure engineer? Oh, really? I'm not saying that me, I'm a pastor now. I'm a pastor now, you know. A higher position, you know. Okay. And I read that one more time. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good work, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Whatever the ministry that we are doing, it is God prepares to do it. If I'm being lazy and just go to the church and worship God without serving Him, I miss a lot of stuff. I miss out a lot of stuff. And when I read the Bible, I won't understand what He's trying to say. But if I start serving God, the moment I'm saved by grace through faith, if I start serving God, and the more I will understand God's work. And I know that we are God's workmanship. Workmanship, just like you go for window shopping and you see the showcase. Wow, the dressing is, the clothing, everything, the shoes, everything is beautiful. It attracts you to get into the store to purchase something. We are God's workmanship. When you look at our life and you see God live in us and you're willing to go to our church to see who God is. You understand? We are God's workmanship. just like the showcase. For those people who are window shopping, you don't want to get into the shop, just walk by, you look at that, wow, looks good, eh? Then you get in. In the same way, we are all God workmanship. You look at us, it will draw you to go to see God. You understand what I'm trying to say? So if you refuse, right after you are saved, if you refuse to serve God, and people don't see that, how good it is. Why I'm saying that? Because when you serve God, all these Bible promises is not for those who are lazy. It's for those who are willing to serve God. The more faithful you are serving God, there's more opportunity for you to see God. I want you to write it down. Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 21 and 23. What happened? If you are obedient to God's voice and willing to serve God and willing to do His will, willing to obey His command, Jesus Christ is going to appear to you. How did Jesus Christ appear to you? When you pray to God and ask God to give you a job, and God answer your prayer and give you the job exactly the one you asked for, and sometimes even better than what you asked for, then you know, wow, that God is good. He appeared to me. He really indeed, He blessed me. So Maria, could you read that? Gospel of John 14, 21 and 23. Loudly.
Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him.
How did Jesus Christ show himself to us? By blessing us. Right? And then verse 23. Read that.
Jesus replied, if anyone who loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him.
He will dwell in you. He will walk with you. He will talk with you. He lives inside you. So in other words, I don't receive the grace of salvation alone. I receive the grace of service also. I can serve God, not as an apostle, as a pastor. You as a lay people, right? You set up the chair. As you grow older, if you being more mature in Christ Jesus, you're going to say, I'm going to like my mother to start serving in the kitchen. Wow. By that time, you ask for a tall, dark, and handsome man. Here comes the tall, dark, and handsome man in front of you. Do you know why? Because by that time you're willing to serve in the kitchen, you are mature enough to get married. You can cook for your husband. Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, hi. He said, yes. If two witnesses, you better believe in it. Right? That's good stuff. That's good stuff, I tell you. Okay? We thank God for giving us a faithful servant like Paul, and revealed God's truth to us, so that we are not just a worshiper of God, saying with word, we worship God with deed. You know the word worship? The word worship is equal to the word service. It is sarcastic to say to anyone, oh, I worship God on Sunday, and yet I don't serve God on Sunday. It is ironic. Now, Wesley and Gabriel, how do you serve God? You bring your friend here, right? Wow, that's good. Give me five. Oh, man. Well, he just scratching his beard. There's no beard. There's no beard. He's just scratching it. I've got people scratching it. He's scratching it. And he has no beard. Okay, why are you doing that, you know? He's so smooth in here. You know what I mean? Oh, man. Now you know that. You can serve God by bringing your friends to come to see Jesus. Just like Andrew served God by bringing his brother Peter to see Jesus. And then Peter come to know Jesus Christ to be Apostle Peter. You bring your friend. What's your name again?
Bruce.
Bruce. Yeah, not Bruce Lee, right?
No.
You know Bruce Lee?
Yeah.
Oh, you know Bruce Lee. Bruce. Oh, I remember that. Bruce, okay? Thank you for coming, okay? Now, you bring your friends to see Jesus. That's good. That's good. What about you? You try to bring your friend next time. Why? Isn't it good? You know, isn't it good? Now, I proved that. I proved that to you. In worship, the word worship is equal to word service. I want you to do me a favor. You write down Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Then you see that. But you have to know Chinese too, unfortunately. You know, the English word and the Chinese word is different. Okay? Now, go to Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Bruce, I want you to read that.
Okay.
Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Read out loud. Okay.
Before I argue, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship.
This is your spiritual act of worship. You know what did the Bible, Chinese Bible say? This is your spiritual act of service. The Chinese translate, they didn't use the word worship. The Chinese translation is, this is your spiritual act of service. Can the Chinese speaking people confirm that? Is it true?
Yeah, for sure. No problem.
You see? In the Chinese translation, he translates the worship, the word worship, using service. So these two words are interchangeable. I cannot say to you, I go and worship God and yet I don't serve God. It is a lie. I cannot say, I serve God and I don't worship God. You won't worship someone unless you serve Him. You know why you serve Him? Because when He blessed me, when I pray because He blessed me, you're worthy of my worship. You're worthy of my service. Does it make sense? From the fullness of His grace and truth, I have received one blessing and another. When I keep on receiving blessing, I keep on serving Him. That motivates me and propels me to keep on serving. Does it make sense? So don't tell me you go and worship God without serving God. When you serve God, tell me you're worshiping God. Do I make myself clear? Go home and ask your daddy these Bible verses. Ask him, how did he translate it? Is that because in the NIV translation, God is a spiritual act of worship, and ask your daddy what is in the Chinese meaning. Is it service? Okay? Verse 2.
Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed transformed by the renewing. And you will be able to test and prove that what God's will is his good, pleasing, and perfect will.
Let me read it one more time. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. What is our spiritual act of worship? Our spiritual act of worship is to offer your body as living sacrifices. By doing so, it is holy act. It's pleasing to God. God likes it. In other words, if you refuse to offer yourself as a living sacrifice, if you refuse to offer yourself as a living sacrifice to serve God, if every Sunday you refuse to serve God, you're not doing God's will. And then the Bible says in chapter 12, verse 2, saying, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. What's the pattern of this world? The pattern of this world is ask someone to serve you. You don't serve God. That's the pattern of this world. Do not conform to that. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is. What is God's will for us? God's will for us is, first of all, you receive God's grace of salvation. Secondly, then you receive God's grace of service. You start serving God. The earlier you serve God, the easier for you to get blessing. If you don't get the blessing, you say, God, you are not, you never lie. What you say is God true. All these promises to your servant, those who serve you faithfully, how you bless them, and I follow their pattern. My mind was renewed. My mind was changed because I read the Bible. I want to follow them instead of follow lazy Christian. They don't serve you. I follow the pattern of Moses, Aaron, and Samuel. How you bless them in those days, I pray that you prove yourself faithful to me so that I know your will. And I know your will is good. I know your will is pleasing. I know your will is perfect. The more you serve God, the more you know how to pray Him, pray to Him, and the more you know how to praise Him too. Because once you receive the blessing, you see what I mean? I tell you one more thing. Among all the ministry, the highest ministry is to bring people to the saving knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to write it down right beside the Bible. Gospel of John, chapter 15, 16. When Jesus Christ chose you, why would He chose you? He chose you to bear fruit. He chose you to just like what Wesley has been doing, bring his friend to come to know Jesus. When you bear fruit, you bring people to come to the saving knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know what Jesus Christ promised you? Whatever you pray in my name, I answer your prayer. You know, when did I start? Remember these Bible verses? Gospel of John chapter 15 verse 16. When I was young at that time, I don't even have a choice yet at that time. You see how long it is? You see what I mean? Right after I get married and I start serving God, and I bring a lot of people to come to know the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, share the gospel, and one day I get a stomach ache. It was so painful. I say to myself, is this appendix? I say, it cannot be, because I cut it off already when I was in Hong Kong. After surgery, it won't be, I don't have two appendix, I only have that one, right? But it was so painful. And all of a sudden, you know what? I hear a small voice saying to me, why don't you pray to God, and so that you can experience God's healing power. You know what? I just pray to God. I hold on to their promises. That is recorded in Gospel of John, chapter 15, verse 16. I say it's not me chosen you, it's you who chose me, so as to bear fruit. And I lead a lot of people to Christ. I name them one by one. And now I pray in the name of my Lord Jesus Christ. No more pain to me. And then I get up from the washroom, I go to sleep. And next day, I sleep all night. And next day, I teach Sunday school. And God said to me, tell them the story and how I heal you. I want you to read that 15:16. So Hannah, just setting up chairs not good enough, right? Got to bring your boyfriend or whatever, a friend, to come to a church. Don't just go and find a boy as it is your boyfriend. Just bring some friends to come, will be good enough, okay?
You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last, and the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name.
So Bruce, I want you to read that. Gospel of John 15:16. chapter 15, verse 16.
16. You did not choose me, but I choose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whoever you ask in my name.
You know, Wesley, if you just bear one fruit to bring Bruce to come, and then all of a sudden Bruce say, oh God, I don't want to believe in Jesus Christ, then the fruit don't last. If the fruit don't last, when you pray to God, say, oh, you get one, and that one's rotten now already. Oh man, you don't lean on one and only one. The more you bear fruit, you name them one by one, and you know, cry out to God, and God say, wow, you get a lot of fruit that lasts, eh? And still going to the church, eh? And still serving God, eh? Well, you're a good and faithful servant. What do you say? You pray to me? You ask something? Okay, granted. I answer your prayer. You understand what I'm trying to say? Don't just bear one fruit. It's not good enough. You have to bear a lot of fruit. Fruit that lasts. Okay? Then whatever you pray in my name, I answer you. On top of answering you, I want you to write it down. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. Because you obey God's word and bear a lot of fruit. And then God said, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has ever conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him. When you obey God and bear much fruit, He gives you something more than you can ask for. Hannah, do you see what I see? I want you to read that. And then Gabriel, you read that. No, I want to... Bettina? Bettina? You read that, okay. Hannah, you read it.
However, as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived, but God has prepared for those who love Him.
Hold on to that. Hold on to it. This is very precious promise. Vivina, could you read that?
No, I have seen, no, I have heard, no, I have conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him.
Who is the one who loves Him? I call it right beside love. Love Him. You write down Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 21. Who is the one who loves me? When you obey my command, you love me. I want you to bear much fruit, you bear much fruit. You obey my command, you love me. You love God? Your prayer is so powerful, Hannah, do you know that? You understand? Don't just say, I love God with my word. I love God with my deed. India, I obey you to bring my friend to come to know you. It is for your own good, man. All these Bible verses, you copied in the first page. And hold on to that. Okay? So we pray. Our Heavenly Father, today we learn that salvation is God's grace through faith. Service, ministry and serving God, worshiping God, is also God's grace through faith. Through your word, now I understand. It is not good enough to have eternal life because we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, is to do good work, is to serve you. When we serve you, we know your will better. We know that your will is good, perfect, and pleasing to you. Not only pleasing to you, it's also pleasing to us, for we will be richly blessed by you. Lord, I pray that you help us to remember what we hear today. I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.